Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha-ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
It's Wednesday hump day, and it is a great one. You know why? My good friend Todd Sylvester's back in studio.
On the feast of St. Joseph the Worker.
Can it get any better than that?
No, I don't think so.
Welcome back. Mike's here. Reed is here. We are headed for a great Wednesday. Just even the vibe in the studio was better. Better than me yesterday going, I got to do all the work.
Although I miss Max Day.
You did miss Max Monday, and he came to the studio, the Golden Doodle, which sometimes you can see on the camera. If you are looking at our new YouTube feed, we've got that up and running along with Facebook Live, so you can check us out.
When we picked up Lizzie in Nashville, we brought Scooter with us the rest of the trip.
Oh, it's good to have a dog on a trip.
And there was one, Marion in particular, Brother Jeff, that every morning was like, hey, where's Scooter? And we wanted to take him on walks. And throw the tennis ball for him.
100 times, yeah. That's good to have people like that.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
You look rested. We're glad to have
you
back.
It was so fantastic.
Good.
Because it also helps, you know, because sometimes we go, the church is so in need and it's going through struggles and everything. And then you see this vibrant order of these men who are just committing their lives to God. It's beautiful.
Amen.
Gives you hope.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Always got hope. So we'll open this day in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, creator of all things, who laid down for the human race the law of work, graciously grant that by the example of St. Joseph and under his patronage, we may complete the works you set us to do and obtain the awards you promise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Ike's Beach Service, with locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Fort Morgan, and Perdido Key. Enjoy fun in the sun with Ike's Beach Services, including paddleboard, parasailing adventures, and beach equipment rentals. Visit ikesbeachservice.com or call 251-948-3757.
Headlines for May 1st, St. Joseph the Worker. Florida's bishops are welcoming a new law that allows public schools in the state to have volunteer chaplains. They recognize the good that chaplains can do in schools by helping students to address their spiritual and emotional needs. The new measure takes effect July 1st. French priest Matthew Raffré disclosed that the Paris prosecutor's office has dismissed a case initiated against him for stating that homosexual relations are a sin and for calling homosexuality a weakness, stating it does not justify any criminal procedure.
Nice.
The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration on Tuesday agreed to reclassify cannabis, removing its association with deadly drugs such as heroin and LSD, and acknowledging that it has moderate to low risk for users.
Oh, yeah.
Eight major U.S. newspapers, including the Chicago Tribune, are suing OpenAI and Microsoft over copyright infringement for purloining millions of the publisher's copyrighted articles without permission and without payment. Mm-hmm. Columbia University reported on Tuesday that a group of pro-Palestinian protesters entered and occupied Hamilton Hall at its Morningside campus after defying an order to vacate encampments. The demonstrators appeared to break windows from the inside as they were cheered on by the outside crowd. Walmart officials on Tuesday announced that the pending closing of all 51 of its health centers in 5 states and the end of its virtual care services, stating they determined it is not a sustainable business model for them to continue.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James declined to commit to a 22nd season after the LA Lakers' season-ending loss to the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs, telling reporters he will consider the decision this offseason. And a 10-foot alligator wandered onto an Air Force base in Florida and parked itself on the runway right under the wheels of a plane.
Ah, it was probably cooler there. Got out of the sun.
I guess.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
I don't know.
Send the guy out there? Hey, Air Force guy, go take care of a 10-foot alligator.
It's probably the newest recruit they're sending out there.
Nice.
It's Wednesday morning, so that always means Tom Riello is joining us from the capital city of Montgomery. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I'm going to be just like that alligator next Tuesday.
Yes.
I'm going to be parked in the fun and the sun of beautiful Fairhope, Alabama.
Tom,
at the studios of Archangel Radio outside, staring into the beautiful St. Lawrence Catholic Parish. This is going to be awesome. Can't wait.
The Lord.
Oh, it is. For our listeners that don't know, Tom Riel is coming to town. He's going to be day one pledge drive host in our pledge drives next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And we've got a special guest today that I'm going to try to get a hold of.
Okay. Well, we'll sit on the line for that. Wednesday will be Pat Ahrensberg as host, and Thursday, Todd Sylvester's hosting all day. So, all of it to help us raise $105,000. What I love about you, Tom, is every segment you can always seem to get in a plug for Archangel Radio on just the good the Catholic Radio does. So we're excited to have a day with you. Is that a phone ringing?
It is.
Yeah.
Special guest. Let's see who's going to pick up.
Uh-huh.
Hello, this is
What if he had picked up? I mean, granted, the chances were low, but what if he had picked up?
That was a recording.
That's
what we were working on yesterday.
That was awesome. That's why.
That is
awesome.
That is a blast from the past. Kay, if you're listening, you got to tell Father about that. Could you remember those Friday mornings? Would he be driving up to Marbury?
For our listeners that don't remember, the segment actually used to be Tom Riello and Father Pat Driscoll on together.
Friday morning.
We called it the Friday Palooza.
Yeah. And then we separated them out into their own segments. They were that good. But that was funny. It brings back days, you guys, when you both were in Montgomery, used to host Water Cooler Catechism for us.
Mm-hmm.
And
we were reminiscing about that yesterday. That was 6 years ago. Six years ago, we stopped doing that pretty much. And, we thought maybe we could give a shot by doing it virtually. But it just, this is something, we're very incarnational. This is great. I'm on the phone with you guys. Mm-hmm. But you know how excited I am to be next week, to be just right there and joking around and laughing and raising money for the amazing work that Archangel Radio does. This is what we're going to be asking people to do next week. They're not giving us money. They're investing in the kingdom. That's what people have to recognize. We talk about this all the time. At the end of the day, what's going to change culture? In many ways, it's going to be somebody who's going through a hard time, who's in their car, and they turn on 1410, and next thing you know, they hear Todd or Ellen or Mike or Reed talking about some aspect of the faith or some dimension of the faith or their experience of the faith in a safe place. Archangel Radio is used by God to bring so many souls into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's exciting. So it's easy to sell because you believe in it, right? It's easy to sell because you believe in it, because it's not some concept or some marketing plan. It's salvation. So that's easy. And then you get to do it with amazing people and have a cannoli to throw it in. I mean, come on. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Amen.
And then you bring the great Driscoll in. Oh, my. The only thing that can make it any better if Carucci shows up, the Don. If the Don of Baldwin County shows up, forget about it. Unbelievable.
He is coming. I just don't know what day he's on the schedule. I do know Father Pat Driscoll is coming Tuesday afternoon while you are here.
Yeah,
so,
Father Carucci is going to be on Wednesday at 11.
Yeah. I just might have to call into Montgomery Catholic and say, I'm staying down. I'm not leaving.
I'll be honest, Tom. I've been doing this for, 13 years now, and I oftentimes forget that people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes we're just in here and we're just having a great conversation and it's wonderful. And then I'll be out and about and someone will come up to me who I didn't even know would regularly listen to the show, and they'd say, now, what was that again that you said, or you quoted some saying, and I looked it up, and I was like, wait a minute, you were listening? Like, because we're just thinking, oh, we're just hanging out in a, right, in yeah. a little room. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a studio.
Yeah.
We just happen to be speaking into microphones.
Yes.
And you just kind of forget that it really is the ripple effect that's moving out. Right, Tom?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It really is. It's like just having a conversation amongst brothers and sisters in the faith, talking about the most important things. It never feels like it's a chore. It never feels like it's work, because when you are participating in the great work that Archangel Radio does, you, like I said before, when you give, you're investing in the kingdom. You're investing in eternity. And you get to talk to so many people, like you said. I mean, the water cooler catechism, remember years ago with the billboards and everything like that, I've had so many people over the years come up to me and go, I know your face from somewhere. And I always laugh because I know it. I don't know them. And I like, well, there were some billboards around town a few years ago that may be it. Oh, that may be it. You know? And it's just neat because people do listen and they do really enjoy the programming. And this is something that what I love about Archangel Radio is it has shrunk the diocese. That is something that we have been saying for years. It has shrunk the diocese. You know, Phoenix City, our Queen of Peace in Selma, all the way down to Our Lady of the Gulf or St. Thomas by the Sea. We're a large land-wise diocese. You know, we actually have two time zones. Not a lot of people realize that. But Archangel Radio allows me to hear a Father Patrick Driscoll, pastor of St. Dominic's, or a Father Nicholas Napolitano, St. Pius V, or, you know, Father Carucci at Our Lady of the Gulf, whoever it might be, Father Andrew Jones at St. Jude. It shrinks the diocese and makes the diocese relevant to me. Like, oh, I know what's going on there. And that is just what we get to be a part of in the Archdiocese of Mobile, being a part of such a wonderful work like Archangel Radio, which I cannot believe, Todd. I mean, it's just amazing. You said 13 years. It just blew my mind. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Well, I drove through the majority of the diocese yesterday as mm-hmm. I was coming back down south. And after I got through Birmingham, as soon as I hit Wetumpka, which I know is our top line, and then I thought, man, I'm close to home. And it was a drive. Mm-hmm. It was a drive from there. So it is a lot of miles, which is why Archbishop mm-hmm. Rohde always says, if you're not going to pray for me, at least pray for my car. Mm-hmm. Because it's just a lot of miles. Right, Tom?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's when you think about a couple weeks ago, I was doing a weekend retreat at the Missionary Servants of the Blessed Trinity, which is on Eastern time. It is Blessed Trinity, Alabama. And then we went to St. Joseph's Parish. Right there in Blessed Trinity, Alabama. You know, you would not think that this would be in the same diocese as the Archdiocese of Mobile. In fact, you're much closer to Savannah. Savannah's diocese is just, you know, you throw a stone and you're technically in the Diocese of Savannah. But it's the Archdiocese of Mobile. And that is something that people, if you haven't really traveled out beyond, you know, certain parts of the diocese, if you're in Montgomery and haven't gone down south, or if you're down south and you haven't really come up much north, you don't realize, like you said, Todd, just how large of a landmass the Archdiocese of Mobile really is. And it's just such a great opportunity to be able to hear different voices from throughout our diocese on what? Archangel Radio. And so I'm excited to be there next week. You know, that's something that, I love doing. A couple times a year I get to head down there. So I'm really excited about that. And I want to encourage the listeners, you know, look, don't count on somebody else doing it, or don't say, oh, I'll get it next time. I want to challenge you now in the lead up. You know, we start the month of May today. Today's the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. The month of May is dedicated to Our Lady. What I want to challenge our listeners to do is to pray right now. Begin praying right now. What are you going to give? Not if you are going to give. No. Resolve that today. But what are you going to give? Because you're not investing in something. You're not investing in time. You're investing in eternity. Our sound goes out. It goes out to all the world. And you're right, Todd. People will come up to you and say, I heard that today. Or I'll get texts after the show from people saying, oh, thank you for that. Or you mentioned, you know, this, or, oh, that was wonderful. Thank you for talking about St. Vincent de Paul or the work that's happening at Holy Spirit. You know, I've had people say, well, I had no idea Holy Spirit Parish feeds 200 families per month, right? Well, they've heard that on Archangel Radio. right? Because I've mentioned that in the past. Oh, another thing I just want to say, we've recently started a homeless ministry at Holy Spirit Parish. Isn't that amazing? The ladies in the parish just made about 100 bags for toiletries and little food items that we can give out, you know, and to the homeless, and starting up a homeless ministry where a couple of our parishioners are going on Tuesdays and Fridays downtown and making nice warm meals for those who oftentimes society has forgotten about. But I get to share that story on Archangel Radio. You know, if you're a parishioner at St. Ignatius, or if you're Father Bryce Shields, or, you know, Father Carucci, whom we love, but, you know, he was up here in Montgomery, but, you know, he's not here anymore. Now he gets to hear about that. And so that's just a wonderful opportunity that Archangel Radio provides us, besides the fact that you have amazing guests like Larry Chapp. I mean, you don't get Larry Chapp is awesome. You know, I just love listening to Larry Chapp, or Michael Pakaluk. You know, these are just amazing guests, Robert Royal. So we have just an amazing diocese, and Archangel Radio is in many ways at the spirit, the tip of the spear, as they say, of making great things happen.
You know, Todd, I'm looking at you.
Hey, I'm back.
We're on the front lines here. The good work the people of Holy Spirit Parish are doing, Our Lady of the Gulf, St. Pius in Mobile. These people do the good work of the Lord. They know their faith. And in many ways, too, part of all of our mission together, everyone at these parishes that contributes there, helps contribute to share this voice of faith to those that have never encountered Jesus Christ. And I think that that's really important, too, because not only does it edify and lift us up, all of those who practice their faith, we are called on to support it, because there is somebody next to you down the street, maybe in your extended family, that has forgotten what their faith is, has forgotten, has never known Jesus Christ, or as Father Driscoll said yesterday, has never had a true encounter and understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And so for those people, then we are also not only servicing the faithful, we're servicing the non-faithful, the people that don't have faith, the people that are looking for faith. And that is equally as important, too, because that's part of our mission to evangelize.
Yeah, and you just said it all right there. It's just that's the story of Archangel Radio. It works in with and through the Archdiocese of Mobile, and it does great work. And also what's amazing, and we would find these things out when we were doing the water cooler catechism. You'd have listeners from Canada. Okay, that's right. The worldwide web thing. Okay, you know, because we had set up a little email there, and every now and then we get some questions or something will pop in. You know, not a lot, but you know, like, oh yeah, I'm writing to you from Canada. We used to say we were number one in the Vatican. We did not have any confirmed sources, but we heard that we were listened to in the Vatican. We've never been able to confirm that, but
that's hilarious.
You know.
Uh-huh. Hey, so did you do the office this morning, by the way?
Not yet. We had a late night last night. We had our wonderful spring band concert. It went long, but it was worth every second of it. My kids had some solos. I'm going to do a little dad brag there. Just amazing. And we were up in Huntsville. I was going to say Huntsville this past weekend for Allstate Band. And so Juliana and Peter made Allstate and band. And our band program at Montgomery Catholic is second to none. Pound for pound, I put our band up. I mean, just amazing. And what our band directors, by the way, converts to the Catholic faith, amazing. Alex and Christine Johnson. So it's been band palooza over the last 5 or 6 days. So I got up a little late today.
Well,
I
was asking because the reading is for St. Joseph the Worker, and it's
from the
Constitution in Vatican II. And it just talks about how we've advanced so much. I mean, look at it. We're holding computers in our pockets that are more advanced than the ones that put man on the moon. The technology has so advanced everything. You know, we had a friend of ours that went to the hospital yesterday, and they were immediately able to do a blood test, and they found out, oh, she's got low calcium and low potassium. It's like they can immediately find that stuff out. Like, we're so advanced that it says in there we have a tendency to forget our need for God because we feel like we have everything we need.
Yep.
And it's important to be reminded, and I think that's a part of what Archangel Communications is all about, to remind us, even with all these advancements, even with all this wonderful stuff, and I think it's great. I really do. I think all of that stuff is great. We have to remember that we are dependent on God. Right, Tom?
Amen. That is just the heart of it. Benedict XVI said the same thing in Spes Salvi, right? Saying that the tragedy of today is technology has replaced Christ as the object of man's hope. And that's just a danger, right? Father Tad, another great guest that you have on a regular basis, that man knows the latest in biotechnology, but he's also somebody who's able to bring a moral voice to the biotech world. He'd be the first one, like you said, yes, we celebrate the wonderful achievements that we've seen as long as they're done through moral means. And so the thing is, you're right, we easily, because of the world we live in, can forget God. And Archangel Radio is a reminder that God is not far, as Psalm 139 says, from any one of us, as St. Paul picks up in Acts 17. And so this can be a great opportunity for people to invest in the kingdom. So next week, so that the listeners out there, many of whom are Catholic, no doubt, but many of whom are not yet there, or they maybe need a little bit of a jolt in the faith, and Archangel Radio can provide that, and often has provided that over these last well over a decade now, which I just marvel at every day.
Mm-hmm. God be praised. God be
Tom Riello, we look forward to seeing you in person here on Tuesday morning.
Hey, let's be praying. We're going north of 105. That's going to be the mantra next week. North of 105. See you all, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, that's going to be a great week. Don Buettner's up next. It's the first of the month. So what do we have? The Saints of the Month for May. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
And my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Oh, yeah, no, they're great. He's all about it. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, Mike Creighton Reed. On the line, regular guest Dawn Buettner. You can connect with her at Dawn Buettner, BEUTNER.com. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, Todd Mellon.
Good morning.
I just got back from a short little mini vacation visiting some of my kids, and I was so excited when I saw that I was going to be back for your segment. Because one time I was gone, and they had the audacity to schedule you while I was gone.
Well, that will
And I'm like,
again.
Excuse me, no, Saints of the Month. I don't want to miss Saints of the Month. Come on, Dawn.
Well, clearly you both love the Saints, so it's a match made in heaven.
Amen. Amen. And you'll be proud of me, Dawn. You'll be proud. I saw the text message mentioning the saints that you're going to be talking about this morning. I don't think I'd ever heard. Well, no, Saint Peregrine.
I didn't know either. All three of them. I'm at a loss.
But I didn't look them up. I didn't look them up because I wanted it to be fresh.
I did because I like to be prepared.
You're cheating.
I know, but I like to be prepared.
Yeah, Father Soche has a first class relic of I think Father Saint Peregrine. He's the patron saint of cancer, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our first one there.
Oh, right then there. I just didn't know his last name. Okay. I just didn't know his last name. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I am super impressed if Ellen knows all three of them. But well,
I
well,
did.
Well, the three that I picked for the month of May. On May 1st, the church celebrates Saint Peregrine Laziosi. On May 3rd, the church celebrates Blessed Marie Leone Paradis. And on May 28th, the church celebrates Blessed Stefan Wyszynski. So once again, they have something in common, and please feel free to interrupt as I go through them. Okay. So the first one is St. Peregrine, and I have to say, I assumed most of your listeners would have heard of St. Peregrine because we all know people who have had cancer, sadly. So St. Peregrine lived in 1260, born in 1260, died in 1345. He was born in Italy during a time when the Pope was not only the spiritual head of the church, but also a temporal head for cities in Italy. And as you may imagine, in politics, there's always disagreements. And popes and the Holy Roman emperors often disagreed over political matters. And the city and individual cities, just like states today, will disagree with one another about who to align themselves with. So Peregrine lived in the city of Forli, and Forli, Italy, aligned with the emperor. So the Pope placed that whole city under an interdict so that no sacraments could be celebrated. So there was so much, because they had been violent. There was a reason. Mm-hmm. So the Pope sent this man, Philip Benizi, who is now a saint, who is the head of the Servite Order, the Servants of Mary, came to the city to negotiate with them, to like reconcile them. Comes to the city, and Peregrine at the time was from a noble family. He was 18 years old. Like a lot of young people today, he had his own ideas about political matters, and there were very strongly held political opinions. So, you know, Father Philip is there trying to negotiate, and Peregrine punches him in the face.
What?
Because he's so upset. He punched him in the face. So Peregrine, Saint Philip, Father Philip, true follower of Jesus Christ, offers him the other cheek. And that biblical, reminder of Jesus really cut him to the heart. Peregrine, was converted, realized, started to think about what he was doing. He eventually, started listening to God more often and praying, and he decided God was calling him to become a priest. He even entered that priest's order. He became a servant of Mary. And he lived for decades as a good priest. They said that he was a great confessor. I have to believe a man who knew what it was to lose your temper knew how to handle people in the confessional. So he lived a good and holy life as a priest. And then near the end of his life, he was found a wound on his foot, and it became more and more infected and, worse and worse. The doctor said, it's cancer. We're going to have to amputate. Now, remember, this is the 1300s, no anesthesia, there's a possibility you won't wake up from this. Mm-hmm. So the night before, though, he's a priest. He's changed his life. He's at peace with whatever happens. He realizes this is God's will. In the middle of the night, he has a dream of our Lord healing his leg. But it's just a dream. Well, when he wakes up, no, it's not a dream. It's real. His foot is completely healed, and then he lived another 20 years. So excellent. So this is why, people with cancer, that 5 minutes after you become, they're diagnosed with cancer, you find about Saint Peregrine and what a great healer he is. Mm. He's the first saint.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay.
Second saint, Blessed Marie Leonie Paradis, and she's from Canada. I was surprised that you heard of her, Ellen. She was born in 1840, died in 1912. She was born into a relatively poor family in Canada. Her father went off, this was during the gold rush, so he went off to go find gold. He came back, he hadn't found any gold, but he discovered that his daughter had left the house. She was 14 years old, and she thought she had a religious vocation to the Sisters of the Holy Cross. He couldn't talk her out of leaving, so she believed this was God's will. She stayed as a Sister of the Holy Cross for decades. She was worked as a teacher, served in orphanages, lived up in Canada and down in the United States. But she'd been transferred back up to Canada when she met a priest, and she was asked to serve at a college that he had founded that was for young women, for young poor women. And the purpose of this college was to teach them, among other things, and Marie Leonie was supposed to be a teacher for this, for budgeting, housekeeping, and cooking, which we think of as home economics. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to, imagine the 1800s, take away every labor-saving device in your home. And, it was and then take a couple of zeros off the end of your annual income. And then suddenly it becomes much more important that you have a good budget. I mean, it's important today, but you have a good budget, how to cook. So these are very important skills at the time. But also a problem that they had we were all probably aware in the 1800s of the Irish potato famine and many immigrants coming from Europe to North America. So they come to North America and there's no Catholic churches churches few and far between. So priests were really stretched thin to try to serve all the Catholics in Canada. And so not only are they traveling between places, but they're like feeding themselves and sweeping the floor of the church and stuff like that. So he said, wouldn't it be great if we had religious sisters? We have sisters who can teach, but what about sisters who have religious vocations but are from poor families? They're not even literate. They can't do that, but they could do this, which is something we really need. So, she agreed with the priest. They started to found the order. The priest passed away, and then she became essentially the religious founder of the order. She spent decades, fostering this foundation. There were dozens of homes of communities that she had founded by the time she died. 635 women had become religious sisters. So it was clearly a need for these poor women who, didn't have the education, but, they could be educated to do this and serve the church in a way that was really needed. at the time.
That's so beautiful. So,
that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so. And then the last one, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, I don't see the connection between the first two. I'm hoping the third one brings it together.
Well, I'm going to give it away here because I should have mentioned she died of cancer.
Okay. Last one,
Blessed Stefan Wyszynski. He was born in Poland to a noble family, but they didn't have a lot of money, but they made sure he got a good education. And he was a smart cookie. He decided that, you know, he was very intelligent. He decided God was calling him to become a priest, became a diocesan priest in Poland. He came of age just as World War I was over. And then during the 20s and 30s, as Nazism is arising in Poland's next door neighbor, Germany, he, you know, publicly wrote and spoke about what was wrong with fascism. So as Germany becomes more likely to invade Poland, his archbishop realized there was a problem and kind of sent him to the middle of nowhere. So he was able to escape when the Nazis occupied Poland, and he was able to hide for the entire war and escape arrest. In the meantime, he's, you know, like secretly serving as a priest. He managed to hide some Jews from the Nazis during that time, too, while he's in hiding. So then World War II ends. He's the last, basically one of the last men standing. I've heard it said that during World War II, the largest monastery in the world was Auschwitz concentration camp. Mm. That they sent so many priests there, and, you know, mostly Polish, but many priests died in Auschwitz. So there are not a lot of priests left. And here he was, this intelligent priest, you know, perfect age. So he was made a bishop. Later became an archbishop, became a cardinal, and ultimately the primate, the most highest ranking Catholic in Poland, during that time period. So people probably have heard of him before in association with John Paul II, who was the other cardinal of Poland. What was notable about Stefan Wyszynski is he was sent to prison because he would not back down. They released him. After the Nazis left, the communists came in, and the communists are the ones who put him in prison. But he managed to find an interesting way of dealing with these, this problem of how do you live under communism and remain a Catholic? I mean, if you don't argue with them at all, you can't just let them run over you. But if you stand up too much, then they just kill people.
Right.
Mm. So he was able to create this like dynamic tension of like agreeing to some things, but only so far, and finding creative ways to deal with them. Like the communists are all about, well, today's feast is, Feast of Joseph the Worker. They're all about the rights of workers. So he wrote a book about the rights of workers from a Catholic perspective. I mean, so he did stuff like that to try to, keep his foot in the game with, in keeping the Polish people Catholic. And then he died in 1981 of cancer. Mm. So there you go.
There's the
connection.
The connection. Okay.
While I was on my trip, I got an announcement, and then from after the announcement, a flood of text messages, emails from friends, because we're all Catholic nerds. Did you hear about the announcement of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they said that he's going to be canonized in the Jubilee year, but they didn't give a date yet, though, Dawn.
No, I haven't heard a date yet either. They're probably like coordinating five different schedules but yes, he's an amazing saint. Plus Pier Giorgio is a young man who died in Italy. But there was one other thing I was going to say about the three saints that we mentioned.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That, they all had cancer, but I think that cancer is such an ugly, nasty disease. People get cancer and they think, it's just the end of everything. But look at all three of those people. They all had cancer, but cancer did not define them. Mm-hmm. That's, they're all holy. They became holy, and, cancer was just like part of the past. It was not the, you could say, they got to heaven despite the cancer or because of the cancer, not a showstopper for anyone to become a saint is what but the real point I wanted to make about all three of these amazing saints.
Amen.
I think, too, they all followed their calling and were open to where God was calling them, in their religious life and doing what they needed to do and not letting obstacles get in the way. insurmountable obstacles, as many of us would say. You know, how can you bring faith to Canada when there's no priests here? How can you live under a communist regime and keep the faith alive in Poland? How do you stop Italian families from fighting? I mean, all of those things, it seems insurmountable, but yet in the steadiness and their day-by-day faithfulness to the Lord, they carried out his mission for them.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And Blessed Pier Giorgio is a great example of that too. Like, you know, that they all had, you know, he did not die of cancer, but he died of polio very suddenly. And you would have thought that, you know, that that was the end of everything. I love Blessed Pier Giorgio's story because it really was not the end.
Amen.
Yeah. Like all the graces flowed after his death. And you could say the same thing with St. Peregrine. I mean, you know, he lived 20 years, people, you know, after he had, you know, he had cancer. And, you know, people, you know, might not thought anything, but then there seems to be this, you know, this real connection that people make with him because he knew what it was like to have cancer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Wow.
So great. Love having you on, Dawn.
Yeah. You always tie it all together for us. Make it real. You know, saints are real.
Well, mm-hmm. Exactly. Just like us.
Beautiful.
But holier.
We're striving. We're striving.
Dawn Buettner, thanks so much. We will talk
Thank
to you again next month. She's great. Oh, talk about great. This is like an out of the park day for you to come back, Tom.
I know.
Dan Burke is coming up next. We're diving into his new book, The Devil in the Castle, on spiritual warfare. He's going to help us break all of that down. Stay with us.
Then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester, Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great, and Reed. On the line, regular guest Dan Burke. You can connect with him at spiritualdirection.com. We're checking out his newest book, The Devil in the Castle, St. Teresa of Avila, Spiritual Warfare and the Progress of the Soul. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank you for helping us to grow in holiness. Mm. We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm grateful to be able to serve. I don't know why the Lord constantly allows me to do this. I guess the pickings are a little slim, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm happy. I'm always overjoyed to be able to do it.
Amen. So, what was the impetus behind this book?
The impetus was that I was wondering if I was crazy. I had a kind of hypothesis that. I mean, I've been accused of focusing too much on the devil. You know, if you look at spiritualdirection.com, the percentage of articles on the devil is quite small. And I mean, probably less than 10%. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've been accused of that. So I thought, well, why don't I just check in with my favorite doctor of the church and, you know, see if that clears things up for me. And as I started to study, I don't remember which version I got. I think it was a digital version. I started to study and then highlight all of her mentions of the enemy. And then I began to see a really kind of beautiful, interesting pattern. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what, this would probably make a good book. And you know, it'll motivate me to get super clear about it. And so that's why I wrote the book, was in many ways to just make sure that I was balanced. And she's a doctor of the church. And if people don't think I'm balanced, then she's imbalanced and I'm in good company.
Now, can you explain to our listeners, though, because some people are not even familiar with her great work, The Interior Castle, so they might not get the reference.
Yeah, I mean, so this book is based on The Interior Castle, which was written later in her life. It's the most mature work. Teresa of Avila wrote a lot, but it's her most mature work. And in it, she uses the analogy of a castle in a kingdom, and the castle and the rooms in the castle are the pathway to relationship with God, who's in the center of the castle. And so she says there are, it's similar to this idea, there's seven large rooms in the castle, But there's many, many side rooms, you know, that you have to go through like a maze, if you will, to get to the begin, to the, you know, to the center. And the center is with Jesus union. It's the highest order of calling of every person, every human being. That center is coming to union with him. And so she describes, at least this book focuses on her description of the spiritual warfare that happens at each major stage of the Christian's life as they're pursuing God in that castle. So I don't know, did that help?
I think so too, because I think if you lay out kind of in the introduction and in the first part of your book is if the Lord is in the center of this castle, and that's what we're all moving towards. There's a lot of people just kind of, first of all, outside the castle walls, so maybe not even knowing God. Then you get inside the courtyard, but, you know, we're all striving to move closer, to have a closer relationship, understanding, love of God, and that it is a movement always towards him through our life. So you could be stuck out in the courtyard. Yeah, yeah, I know Jesus, or he, you know, more peripheral. And it kind of makes reference to your other book of swimming in the shallows or staying in the shallows, wanting to go deeper. So this whole thing, understanding that you have is that you're drawing us or making us understand that there is a pathway in our earthly journey of going closer to the Lord. But many of us don't know how to get there. And I think that's where a book like this can come in and then kind of help us through some of the pitfalls you might encounter as you're moving closer.
Yeah, if I could reinforce what you said. So the image, Teresa grew up around castles. You know, they're everywhere in Spain. And the image that I think is best related to that is she grew up in Avila, Spain, which has 12-foot-thick walls around the entire city. And then inside the walls, then you might have the castle or the, you know, the dwelling place of the king. And so you have one wall. When you're in it, those 12-foot-thick walls, you're in the kingdom, and you come in through baptism, right? And outside of the kingdom is the enemy's territory. Now when you're in the kingdom, that doesn't mean you've entered into the interior castle like you were alluding to. Mm-hmm. And who hasn't entered? Well, scripture reveals in the book of Revelation, even very early on in the church, that there were people who had lost their first love, who were lukewarm. And so, you know, Jesus said, you're neither hot nor cold. You know, you're not fervent and you're nothing. So I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So there's people in this courtyard. They're safer than the ones outside of the kingdom because they have the baptism. Let's say they go to Mass every Sunday, but they're not yet quite engaged in what it means to be an authentic disciple of Jesus. And in this book, I explore what it means to be an authentic disciple of Jesus through St. Teresa's eyes. And then what are the spiritual warfare elements that what are the battle and the normative battles you face as you begin to move forward? Because the enemy does not want Ellen or Todd or Dan or Mike or any of us to become authentic disciples. He wants us to be satisfied that we're just in the kingdom and that we're just good Catholics, in quotes, because then, you know, we'll just become weaker and weaker spiritually, and then he'll take us out in the end. So Teresa's calling us to engage in this battle. God is calling us to engage in the battle, and we need to understand, you know, how to do that.
I was giving a talk one time, Dan, and this woman raised her hand because I was talking about the three stages of the church, you know, and I said, yeah, we're church militant. She immediately raised her hand. She goes, I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like the sound of that or the feel of that. So I'm just not going to engage in that. And I'm like, okay, you're in a battle. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know. Like some guys in the youth group that we'd play battle ball, and at the beginning, they're looking at their phones in the playing field, Dan, in the playing field.
Yeah, so there's this great line in the recent movie, called Nefarious. I recommend it to everyone. It's a thoroughly Catholic movie. It's really, I think, without any flaws. And it's that good. But in the movie, there's a serial killer who's possessed, and a psychiatrist who's trying to assess whether or not the serial killer should be executed. So the governor is assigned the psychiatrist. Psychiatrist thinks he's really smart. His name is James Martin, interestingly enough. And so the demon rattles this arrogant psychologist's cage, and he leaves the room. He gets so upset. He comes back into the room, and the demon says, "Back for round two." And the psychiatrist says, "I didn't know we're in a war." And the demon says, "That's why you're losing."
Ouch.
And so that's exactly your point, right? I mean, and, you know, the enemy is happy to hand you a new bag of chips and batteries for your remote and make you self-satisfied about, you know, Sunday mass attendance and that you don't kick puppies and things like that.
Yeah.
And you don't murder people. And so you're fine. But really what's then happening from that moment you've made that decision not to enter into the fight, you begin to atrophy, and you atrophy to the point where when you die and you're in that final battle that the saints reveal, I don't like this truth, but the saints reveal it is common, that the enemy's going to try to take you out. And when is he going to do that? When you're spiritually at your weakest, and that's because you haven't been fighting. So the enemy is present and engaged. We either engage and get strong now, or we atrophy and we're weak and we're easily overcome in the end, or later in life, you know, to habitual sin, which will take us to hell, you know, mortal sin that take us to hell anyway. So yeah, he just doesn't want it, but I don't mean to ramble, but I get a lot of that when I speak, Todd, of people saying, and I've even heard it from priests, well, if I pay attention, you know, or if I pray these prayers, won't the devil, you know, get on me more? It's like, look, you're already in a war. Mm-hmm. You're already in trouble. You need to take up your arms and get moving.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. It's not a spiritual thing, but my son and I watch Band of Brothers and the series on World War II, and it follows a certain company. But there were so many times that I kept pausing it, almost to the irritation of my son. And I'm like, see what they're doing right there? And he's like, Dad, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. You know, they're on their way marching, and the other soldiers are coming the other way because they need to take some time and retreat. And they're immediately saying, give me your ammo. Give me your ammo. Because they know where they're going. Right, Dan?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. This is just a side note. My kids used to say to me, Dad, can't we just watch a movie?
Oh, no, yeah. You and Todd probably are the same thing. Did you miss this moment?
Here's the hilarious part, though. Years later, we go to a movie with them as adults. We walk out. The one who used to complain the most goes, now, who was the Christ figure in that movie? And, you know, and I'm just like, nice. Yeah, baby, this is beautiful.
Nice. Wow. So I guess we're going to continue this topic the next few weeks as we kind of work through what are some of the rooms as we move to the interior of the castle. Is that the plan, Dan?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm at your service. So that sounds good to me.
Wow. Well, I think because it's interesting because a lot of us may know of St. Teresa of Avila and kind of even know the titles of the books or vaguely what she talked about, but have not taken the time to deeply dive into it or think about it in regards to our own spirituality, because that's something way over there. Really, really holy people do, Dan. That's not for me. I can't possibly figure that out. I'm just going to get up and go to work today or whatever it is. But I think as we grow in our faith, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, that will help us on our eternal journey.
So Dan, say it any better.
Dan Amen. Burke, we look forward to continuing this conversation next. Well, not next Wednesday. We'll be in Pledge Drive, but the Wednesday after that. So thank you for joining us. The Devil in the Castle is by Dan Burke if you want to get the book.
Thanks, Dan.
God bless you guys.
Thanks. We thank our sponsor, Cromwell & Associates, a non-traditional law firm that focuses on estate and business planning. Cromwell & Associates can be reached at 251-605-605. 9075 or visit cromwell.associates. Mike, what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow we've got three guests joining us in the studio, back to back to back. William Wilhelm talks about a ministry that provides burial clothing for indigent babies. Dr. Bridget Hanahan discusses how Catholic parents can help their children deal with a bully. And Drew Williams shares about Camp Cardinal.
Sounds awesome.
Wow. We're going to have Reed sanitizing the microphone and desk between segments. We'll be so busy tomorrow.
I think it'll
be fine. Okay. No masks.
Yeah.
All right.
I think
it'll be fine. I know.
All right. All right. Here we go. Let's go forward and be a light unto the world. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.